The following correspondence was issued late last week, and I'm not going to read it all, but it's a way of introducing my next guest. It is the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day, and all across the country, people will be celebrating women who have made a significant impact on Canadian history. If there's one group of women that Canadians love to talk about or love to hear about, it's war brides. Their immigrant story of love and courage and adaptation to a new life in Canada is an indelible part of our national and cultural identity. However, and here is the fly in the ointment, however, Melinda Jarrett,
yes,
is a historian, and she joins me on the phone. Melinda, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tom.
The however is what?
Yeah, however. The big however. The $60,000 question. Well, the however is that the Canadian government, 65 years after the arrival of these war brides with their cherub-cheeked little babies on war bride ships like the Queen Mary and the Aquitania, and they're living here all these years, growing up, going to school, and some of them serving in the military, even voting, having families. And now, as they apply for their Canada pensions, they are finding out they are not Canadian citizens. And, you know, people just can't believe that this is still going on. They just can't believe it. And it is. Unfortunately, I just got a call here a few minutes ago from an Ian Monroe. I think you've spoken to Ian before, mm-hmm. out of Nova Scotia, yeah. And he's been struggling for 25 years to get his citizenship, and he was told he was not a Canadian citizen. We tried to get his business sorted out here a few months ago, and today he received a phone call from the Department of Citizenship and Immigration, and you know what they asked him? Can you prove, in paraphrasing, they want a proof that he was not born out of wedlock overseas.
God.
During World War II.
So that still matters.
Oh, it apparently the sex life of World War II war brides is of great interest to bean counters at Citizenship and Immigration. I fail to understand.
Can
what
you
century,
tell me you weren't? Can you tell me you weren't born out of wedlock? More kids today are born out of wedlock
than are born in wedlock.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine a politician or a woman's rights advocate, a feminist today, trying to defend that policy, trying to stand up there in the House of Commons or in their women's groups or today on International Women's Day and say that's all right? Well, you know, the silence is deafening, and this is why I wrote that article, because I am so frustrated at the complete silence from the women's organizations on this issue. You know, it's bad enough that war brides and their children are being put through the ringer at Citizenship and Immigration and being told they're not citizens and having to fight to get their citizenship after filling out, doing paperwork, and you know, reams of paperwork and money, time, anxiety, the fear of the loss of their Medicare and passports and the whole works. It's bad enough they've got to go through that, but then to be told that if you were born out of wedlock, you are denied citizenship.
It's so pre-Victorian. Like imagine, I'm sorry, your mother and, my God.
It is unbelievable that they will judge a 65-year-old Canadian citizen who feels, well, they've lived here all their life, they're Canadians,
yep.
They've been here since they were 2 months old, 3 months old, 4 months old, brought over on the ships, promised citizenship by virtue of having been married to their mothers, having married a Canadian soldier. Everything was done in the orders in council. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
The orders in council.
These people got off the boat and started to make new lives for themselves because they had been told by the prime minister of the day that just being married to a Canadian service man was all that was required for them to be citizens.
That's right. And so as over the years passed, by January 1st, 1947, they changed the rules. But they failed to tell anybody. And let's face it, January 1st, 1947, what do you think those war brides were doing? They weren't gallivanting around Ottawa in Montreal listening to the radio or reading newspapers about the new Citizenship Act and how it was going to impact them. They were probably struggling to set up a home in rural Canada. 50% of these war brides came to rural environments.
Yeah.
And where husbands struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder, looking for work, raising families, having babies, trying to settle in, culture shock, all of that stuff, you know, that we've heard so much about the war bride story. The last thing on their mind was citizenship. And it was only if over the years, as one or two or three or four of them, they started going overseas back to visit mother and father back in Britain or Europe, that they got stopped at the customs and told, hey, you know something? You're not a Canadian citizen. You better get that straightened out. And no problem. Back in the day,
yeah,
when you could talk to a real live human being.
Yeah, instead of getting, if you wanted in English, press one, if you want press two.
Exactly. The Kafkaesque, alleyways that upon which one gets led down in when you phone the Sydney Processing Center in Sydney, Nova Scotia to try to straighten out your citizenship problems. Forget it. You just do not get a real live human being. There's no intervention. There's no human interface anymore. It's all done by computers, and especially since 9/11, especially with the heightened security. I was just talking to a reporter in Scotland. I just did an interview with a reporter in Scotland with the Daily Record, and I said, she couldn't believe it. I said, well, look, you get an 87-year-old war bride, Priscilla Corey from British Columbia, white-haired, cute, rosy-cheeked, with a cane, perhaps even in a wheelchair, and she, as far as they're concerned, is the same as Osama bin Laden. I mean, that's basically, you're put in the same, level in terms of who you are, your citizenship. Why are you trying to get into this country, or why are you applying for citizenship? As soon as you make that application for the passport, that's where they get you. Where were you born?
Yeah.
I was born in blank, England, Scotland.
Right. Yeah.
And that's written, well, where's your proof of citizenship? And then as soon as you don't provide the documentation, well, Ian today, of all people, Ian Monroe, he phoned me up a while ago to tell me he was furious. And like, this story is going way beyond Canada's borders. It's an embarrassment.
So they wanted to know from Ian,
yep,
whether or not his mom and dad were
married. Yeah, when he was born. Or was he born out of wedlock? Because if he's born out of wedlock, which means born before they're married, then he's a bastard who is not entitled to Canadian citizenship by virtue of the 1947 Act by which he is being judged for his citizenship status in his application.
You see, I've talked about this with you on many occasions, and Don Chapman even more, and I'm hoping to have a conversation with Chapman because his name came up.
Oh, yes, it did.
About getting in bed with the Tories and signing certain things, and we're hoping to have him on tomorrow. We don't know whether we will or not, but I'm sure that there are people who listen who say, why does he always talk about that? And why is she always going on and this other guy? Because that can't go on. That can't be happening. I know it's not true.
Well, you know what? It is true. And as much as I wish it wasn't true, I would love to turn back. You think I have nothing else to do? I have a lot of other things that I'd much rather be doing than talking about the injustices that are being perpetrated against war bride children 65 years after their arrival in this country and after the promise of citizenship that was given to them by this country, by our prime minister, by orders in council, by all the documentation and propaganda that was handed to them during and after the war. But it was just that January 1st, 1947, with the introduction of the new act, everything changed, and they failed to tell people what to do. I mean, Senator Romeo Dallaire, we've told you the story before, too.
Oh, I know.
I mean, if Senator Romeo Dallaire is not a Canadian citizen, let's just go shoot the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, too. I mean, give me a break.
Was he enabled? Does he know?
Yes.
Whether mom and dad actually did the right thing?
Yes. Ian's mother and father were married before he was born.
Now, can he prove that?
Yes, he has all the documentation, and in fact, we've already sent all that stuff to them on November 12th.
Oh.
So what it is they're double checking now to make sure, I guess, and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, which is nothing unusual at citizenship and immigration. And so today, though, can you imagine having the nerve to ask a 66-year-old Canadian whether his mother and father were married when he was born? It's against the law to ask people that.
Yeah, he was. He's the son of a guy who was over there risking his life,
yes,
on behalf of the rest of us who were back here.
He is just like Joe Taylor, except Joe Taylor was born out of wedlock.
Yeah.
And Ian is a born in wedlock. He's like most of the Canadian War Bride children are born in wedlock, but you get these born out of wedlocks who are being caught up in the system. And there's lots of others. There's Jackie Scott, there's Denise Tessier and Sue Rouleau, from another bunch from Nova Scotia. I mean, there's all kinds in New Brunswick, all in every province in this country. There is another one of these born out of wedlock children who are only now applying for their Canada pension and old age pension, and they're discovering, much to their complete surprise, that mummy and daddy were not married.
Imagine if I advertised a job, okay, and you came in and you applied for the job,
uh-huh,
and you met all the qualifications. You could type and you could read and all of the things that you have to be a person in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the last question I could say to you is, Ms. Jarrett, you were born, just
before,
for the sake of this, so-and-so in Fredericton, New Brunswick in 1954. Were your mother and father married?
I know, it's unbelievable. What century do we live in? And why aren't women's groups up in arms about this? Why are they not defending these children who were born out of wedlock and are being treated so terribly by the Department of Citizenship and Immigration? The silence is deafening. And don't tell me they don't know about it.
Mm.
Last week, I attended here in Fredericton. I'll just tell you this little short story. I attended in Fredericton at International Women's Day on March 1st. Last Monday, they had a big event here, and intending fully to speak about this issue, I brought with me an article that I had written for the Fredericton Daily Gleaner, and it was a large article, top of the page, about gender discrimination and the Citizenship Act from last year from International Women's Day, which the Daily Gleaner printed. And it turned out they had this interactive display at the event, and they were inviting people to put up anything they wanted about any issue regarding women's rights. So I went up there, and I was one of the first people, and I said, oh, great. So I took my article and I glued it onto this big interactive board, and I also stuck a little note on that said, in 2011, Citizenship and Immigration still discriminates against women and children and girls. And the look on the people's faces was like, oh, you know, it was like total disinterest.
Yeah.
And it hurts, you know, to know that there's something that you feel so passionate about, and you talk to these people, and you know that they've been told they're not citizens, and it hurts right to the very core of their identity, and you know it's wrong. You know it's an injustice. You know it's against the Supreme Court of Canada, against the Charter of Rights. It's against the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of the Child, the Rights of Woman.
Yeah.
There's just so many different things that it's just inherently against as a human being.
And if I said to you, were your mother and father married, how long would it be before you had me in front of the Human Rights Tribunal? There'd be a huge banner all across the newspapers, God, the TV cameras. Imagine this man asking this question of this woman in 2011.
How dare you? I'd have you up against the wall. I'm telling you, I'd ruin your reputation.
Absolutely.
You would lose your job.
Yeah.
You'd be a nobody. That's it. No one would want to ever talk to you again.
Absolutely. Because I asked, what gives you the right, sir, to ask that question?
Well, Ian was completely flabbergasted. I mean, he's not surprised, and he knew to expect. The thing is, though, it's so sad, is this has been happening behind dark corners, behind closed doors for 65 years.
Yeah.
They've been getting away with this, and they have been refusing. In the Joe Taylor case, we found out that they had been refusing up to 400 applicants a year. So, you know, and that was 2008. So you add up the numbers over a period of about 40 years, they're adding four times 400. You know, there's thousands of Canadians, potential Canadian citizens, who failed to fill out a form and then made an application. When they made the application, they found out they weren't citizens for any number of reasons, one of them being that they were born out of wedlock.
Incidentally, Don Chapman is on with me tomorrow.
Well, isn't that great? I was just talking to him a few minutes ago. Yes, there's a few fires burning here.
Thanks for doing this.
Well, thank you so much, and I really hope that people do speak out. Speak to your member of parliament and tell them you're not willing to put up with this anymore. It's ridiculous. What century are we in?
Apparently still back in the 1700s, I guess.
Well, you know, I feel like 100 years ago. What has happened in 100 years?
Nothing.
It doesn't seem like anything's changed.
Yeah. Melinda, always good to talk with you.
Nice talking to you, too.
Melinda
Bye-bye.
Jarrett, who is a historian and writes at length and does a lot of work on behalf of war brides. We'll come back.